want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day to you, Brevard County. Hopefully it is not a mundane Monday for you. Hopefully it's a marvelous Monday here in Brevard County, Florida. We want to thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM WMIE, today's modern worship right here in Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island. We're two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney Parkway, and two blocks east of Tropical Trail. And we bring you this Refresh radio program here Monday through Friday, 8:30 of the morning, 5 o'clock of an evening. It's rebroadcast. And then on WWBC, it is 1510 a.m. It's rebroadcast 10:30 of a morning. And we have we are through with our World Missions Emphasis Month at Merritt Assembly. We had a record number of people who are partnering with us this year. As far as missions giving goes, that's exciting. I'm really excited about that. And we have had record faith promises. That means people are believing God to give them the resources to be able to partner with more missionaries. We are striving to add 7 new missionaries. We've got 7 on our waiting list, and we are striving to get those added to our mission support, because there are people that still need to hear about Jesus around the globe. And we would want to do our part here locally, and we want to empower those who are ministering here in the United States, college campuses and things like that, as well as enabling and empowering those missionaries who are reaching foreign cultures. So today we want to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. If you need anybody to come out and do AC work or heater work, I think, you know, I could probably survive. We may still have a cold blast or two, but I think the days of heat are drawing very close to being in our rearview mirror this time of year. We'll be entering March here in just a few days, and before you know it, 90 degrees will be back, and you're going to be wanting to have your air conditioner up and running. So if we can help you out with that, give Creative AC Solutions a call, 321-759-3284. Bill Andriak, he just took care of an AC problem for my son here just a few days ago, and he will be glad to come out and take care of your system as well. 321-759-3284. So we are continuing our study. We're going through the Sermon on the Mount. We are currently going through the Lord's Prayer portion, and specifically the portion where it says, "And lead us not into temptation." And what that has done is launched us into a study on how does God lead us. And today we're going to be touching on a different aspect of God's leadership. And you really need to pay attention here. This is one of those passages. In fact, I've got it written on here. Hold on, Gussie, this could get messy, is what I have written on my notes here. Because what we're going to talk about today is in Psalm 77. Psalm 77. We're going to be reading in verse number 16, all the way through the end of the psalm, which is verse number 20. Psalm 77, verse number 16. It says this: "The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you, they were afraid. The depths also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Your arrows also flashed about. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. What I would like to address on today's program is this concept that God leads us through authority. God leads us through authority. Not everyone liked Moses' leadership. Not everyone liked Aaron's leadership. And in all honesty, their leadership was not flawless. But I tell you that God, when he anointed those people to lead, he was very protective of that. When people lashed out against Moses' leadership, that was a very serious offense. It was dealt very seriously by God. And so I want to encourage you that we recognize that when God positions in authority, we need to be very careful how we deal with that authority. And we live in a very divided country right now. There's very little gray ground. There's very little middle ground. There are people on one side of the political spectrum and one side on and deeply entrenched people on the other side of the political as well. But we are called to pray for those in authority. And so no matter who has been president, I don't speak evil about them. I don't necessarily agree with everything that anybody has done. I've had problems with just about every president that has said some things that I didn't agree with, did some things that I didn't agree with, had some policies that left me scratching my head. But there are some others that just have stances that I have to say, you know what, that is outside of God's will, God's plan, and I have to speak up to those. But the one thing that I've always done is I've taken the scripture very seriously to pray for kings. First of all, to pray for kings and for all those who are in authority over you, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives. I take that very seriously. So I also realize that God doesn't want anyone to perish, and he wants all to come to everlasting life. So I pray for a spirit of humility in my leaders. I pray for them that they will have a love for God, that they will be surrounded with righteous and godly leaders. I pray for that. I pray that that they will know God more than just intellectually, that they will have a tremendous relationship with him. And if there's a leader who does not know God, I pray that they would come to know him. I don't pray for their devastation. I don't pray for their destruction. But I pray that God would overtake their heart with a spirit of repentance. Now, I will tell you, there have been some leaders, because I'll just give you a little bit of insight into myself. And that is, I'm a life guy. I'm a life guy. And that's where I start. And anything else, economics, God, see, I function under God's economy more than I function under men's economy. And God is my source. So I don't vote economic issues. I recognize that children are an heritage from the Lord. And I don't want to cause any pain or stumbling to come to any of them. And so I want to make sure that we appreciate the gifts that God has given to us. That's where I start. So if you start lashing out against God's providence, then you're probably going to lose me in my support. It doesn't matter whether it's an R or a D or an I in front of the name. If you do not appreciate God's gift of life, you're probably going to have problems with me, and I will have no problem telling you, look, there's this issue, and I'm very much in favor of this issue and you're not, and therefore we've got some problems, but that still doesn't mean I'm not going to pray for you. So let's bring this into, take it out of the political realm and let's bring it into the practical realm. And that is, in every church, God will set up leadership. And, you know, I'm thankful. I'm not a fan of setting things up as a dictatorship. I do not function at Merit Assembly of God with sole authority. There are things that I've wanted at Merit Assembly of God that I didn't get. That doesn't mean it was a bad thing. When specifically during one of those times, many years ago, as I was praying about that situation, I'd put a lot of effort into something and it fizzled and it fell apart and all that sort of stuff. And I was quite upset about the investment of time that had been lost. And God said, Bob, I've got to deal with your pride the same way I've got to deal with everybody else's pride. And so I was like, okay. So I recognize that I need to be the leader, but I'm not a dictator. There is no one at our church that has sole authority. There's a board that I am accountable to. I have presbyters and I have a district superintendent and a general counsel. There are a lot of people that make sure that I continue to lead in truth and integrity and faithfulness, and not lead people into spiritual error, not lead people erroneously. Don't lead in an ungodly manner. So God does lead with authority. He leads in authority in government. He leads in authority in the church. He also leads in business. And so I'm a big fan of leadership. I'm a big fan of godly leadership. And so I teach at our church that, you know, you continue to remain under godly leadership. And if leadership gets outside of God's, you know, declared will in his word, which is settled forever in heaven and on earth, it's never going to change. If there gets to be anything that's illegal, immoral, unconstitutional, or unethical, then we're going to have a very, very simple discussion. Say, how can we get back to this? And if they will not come back into alignment, then we're going to have to say, well, you know what? I want to thank you. I'm not here to cause a problem, but I cannot serve in an illegal, immoral, unconstitutional, unethical, ungodly way. I can't violate that part of my principles. And I tell you what, if you continue to do that, if you continue to serve with a respect for the authorities that God has placed over your life, I'm very thankful for the people that I've served under. A lot of them taught me things that I wanted to do. Some of them taught me things that I didn't want to do. But I always recognized that there was a level of blessing in their life that God had bestowed to be a blessing to the body of Christ. So let's look at another passage. Let's look at Numbers chapter 27. We'll go back to Numbers real quick because he didn't just lead through Moses and Aaron, but he also led with Joshua. And let me see if I can, it's in verse number 15. Let's begin reading there. Numbers chapter 27, verse number 15. Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd." And the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him, and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give him, and you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim, that at his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, he and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation. So God led the people of Israel, not just through Moses and not just through Aaron. He also led them through Joshua. Later on, he would lead through kings, and some of them would be godly kings, and some of them would be ungodly kings. Did you know that those kings were supposed to have a relationship with God? One of the first primary responsibilities of the kings were they were supposed to handwrite themselves a personal copy of the Word of God, the Torah. They were supposed to familiarize themselves with it. I'm not sure that any of them ever did that, but they were supposed to. And when they would do that, they would find out, okay, this is something that you're not supposed to do. This is something that you're not supposed to do. So David made an error in transporting the ark because he was unfamiliar with the biblical requirements of how the ark was supposed to be transported. He was the king. He was the authority. He was supposed to be leading the people. He was going to lead them to a greater dimension of spiritual revival than they had ever experienced before. And yet, because he did not have that personal copy of the Word of God, then he violated a principle. A man died. Bitterness set in with David, and there was a lot of hardship. It was because there was some other issues in David's life. Difficulties came. There were times when he took a census he wasn't supposed to take a census of. There was sexual immorality that there wasn't supposed to be a part of. Later on, Solomon would amass things that he wasn't supposed to have in his resources. And so authorities are supposed to have a personal relationship with God. They were supposed to go in before the Lord and come out of the presence of the Lord to lead the people, to bring them out of the bondage that they were in, and to bring them into the glorious liberty that they were supposed to experience. Look at what it says. Who set a man over the congregation who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in. Okay? So, in fact, it goes on. It says that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. Right now, there is this tremendous emphasis in America towards, you know, a mob mindset. You know, conviction in the eyes of the public. And that was never set up by God to be that way. And so if you're a leader, if you're a leader in your home, if you're a leader in church, if you're a leader in business, if you're a leader in government, then you need to go into the presence of God, because God is the greatest authority on how to lead people. And so as long as we stay under that chain of command, we're going to find that we are going to be able to lead people out of the problems and into a life of blessing. I do not believe that there is a single issue that people face that God cannot bring them out of. Now, we live in a day and time where there are a lot of people who are wanting to build fortresses around their strongholds. They are wanting to imprison themselves with no hope of being set free at all. And I just want you to know that's not the way that God intended it to be. We're not supposed to shelter our sin. We're not supposed to fortify our sin. We're not supposed to outlaw anybody trying to expose us to the truth. We're supposed to say, you know what? I want to be set free. And so if we're leaders, we've got to realize that it is not about a title. It is not about a position. It is about providing direction and breakthrough and advancement for the kingdom of God. So Joshua led them out because God knew that they needed leadership. You need leadership. I need leadership. Everybody needs leadership. There was once a general superintendent in the Assemblies of God, and he got into some doctrinal error and was removed from office. He's the highest ranking official in the Assemblies of God. This goes way, 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 way back. But he repented. He changed his heart, changed his life. And because God is a God of second chances, he was given a second chance. He was reelected back to his previous position. And that time he led gloriously. If you have ever failed at leadership, do not think that God is through with you. Moses had his failures in his leadership. Joshua engaged in a treaty, established a covenant with the Gibeonites, a people that he was not supposed to enter into a covenant with because he didn't seek the Lord. Later on, he found out what he had done, but by then it was too late. He had already entered into covenant, but God honored that covenant for the Gibeonites all the way into David's advancement in the kingdom. Let me take you to the next passage here. Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20. I don't know if I'm going to have enough time to get through all of this today. If not, we'll get through it tomorrow. Verse number 10, when you go near a city to fight against it, then proclaim an offer of peace to it, and it shall be that if they accept your offer of peace and open to you, then all the people who are found in it shall be placed under tribute to you and serve you. Now, if the city will not make peace with you, but war against you, then you shall besiege it, and when the Lord your God delivers it, let's see, you know what? I think I started one verse too late. I did. Verse number 8. The officers shall speak further to the people and say, what man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, lest the heart of his brethren faint like his heart. And so it shall be when the officers have finished speaking to the people that they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people. Okay? So biblical leadership was not supposed to be consolidated into just a singular person at a singular time. There were supposed to be levels of leadership, just like it was described here. Once they were ready to go into battle, they had captains over the armies. They were people in authority, and they were there to lead, not just to give orders, but to lead. And so you would have different levels of leadership. You would have people who were leaders over tens. You would have people who were leaders over 50s. You would have people who would be leaders over hundreds and over thousands. You would have all these different levels of leadership because everybody needs to be in touch with their leadership. So if... Now, at my church, we've got different leaders in place. I'm not looking to consolidate the leadership table. I look to enlarge the leadership table. So we have leaders over children's ministry and leaders over youth ministry. We have leaders over women's ministry and men's ministry. We've got leaders over classes that are taught. And it's designed so that everybody builds relationship, have fellowship with one another. So here a couple of weeks ago, I was preaching on fellowship. I gave an altar call and said, let's not just talk about this tonight. Let's have some fellowship. And so I treated them to Dairy Queen and actually had some people that showed up at church that we met at Dairy Queen. We met them after the service the next Sunday night. They came and attended a Sunday night service. We met them. They were actually missionaries. And so they came and they said, well, we'll come back another time as well, because we had a guest speaker that night. So there needs to be all sorts of leadership. God intends for the people of God to be the head and not the tail. We are not supposed to be led by society and its carnal desires and its ungodly desires. We're supposed to be led by godly leaders who will lead us in victoriously. And just because a person is in leadership doesn't mean that they're all going to be godly leaders. Let me see if I can find another reference. I've got it here. In Isaiah chapter 3, verse number 12, and also in chapter 9, verse number 16, it talks about there were ungodly leaders who lead the people into error, and that when we are led into error, it actually leads to our destruction. So you and I, we need to look around and we need to ask ourselves, are we being the leader that God wanted us to be? Are we leading in a godly manner? Are we leading people just because it's a position that God has given to us? Or are we leading them for their benefit? Back to what it said about Joshua, it was so that the people would not be like sheep without a shepherd. And so if you're here today and you do not have any authority over you in your life, no one that you're accountable to, I want to encourage you, get connected to the body of Christ. You need to be in a Bible preaching church. I realize that there are some people who can't get out and go to church, but and there have been people that have told me that said, look, we're a member of your radio congregation. Well, if that's the case, then I want to encourage you. Would you let us know what we can pray for you about? Would you let us know what's being a blessing to your life? Because we want to be there and help lead you out of bondage and into the glorious freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Freedom to do what God has called us to do. So that is one of the great aspects of leadership. And like I said, it can get messy because all of us are flawed human beings. There are people who are going to mess up from time to time in their leadership. I know this might come as a shock to you, but I have not been a flawless leader. Thank God that He is a God of second chances. Thank God He is a God of forgiveness. And thank God for the merciful people at Merit Assembly of God. Amen. So with that being said, let God lead you today, and we will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.